Hello, 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 everyone. Happy Q Day. Zosha.
Hi, Lauren. I'm so happy to be with you. Hi to everyone listening. Yeah. So fun to be here.
I'm so happy to be here. Oh, my goodness. Well, Zosha, so I don't know. I'm feeling into it. I'm like, okay, today, are we going to be ladies at tea or ladies at sea or maybe a little bit of both?
We're definitely both. How are you feeling? Do you have your tea with you? Are you feeling salty?
I'm feeling a little salty.
I love salty language. At the perfect time. At the perfect time.
Exactly. You can't overuse it, though.
Exactly. Actually, Lauren, that reminds me, listening back to the show, when you mentioned, you told people where the Go Fish, you know, how we use Go Fish comes from. Mm-hmm. And I listened back and I hear Q like laugh. And I realized, okay, let me back up. You said there's a little comic, right, on my page that we both refer to as our inside joke. So when you stated it, Q then laughed. And then I didn't catch that live, but listening back, I'm like, oh my gosh, he just went and looked at the image. I totally forget, right? Don't you forget right. Sometimes like, oh, he's just wild. I don't even know how to explain it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally do.
He just went and looked at the image. He didn't have to move. It's so funny.
Exactly. And then I love hearing him laugh.
I mean, I know.
Right? But we have to be kind of careful when we're telling jokes and stuff with each other, because Zosha has a habit. It's like the timing is just impeccable, because I say something and she's inevitably like sipping water or coffee. And it just...
No, this is no joke, Lauren. I'm actually, as I think about it, it's going to make me laugh, but we're talking one time because you just say it and you said something. I spit my water all over everything in front of me. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not ladies at tea. we're not tea drinkers sometimes. It's so fun.
But isn't it freeing though?
So freeing just to be present and in rhythm. We were just talking about that. We have said this before, how it's just so fun to do it with each other. And is that the sharing of light, that we're just in the synchronicity with each other? And it's just so easy. It's just so easy.
It's so easy. It just flows. I mean, it's just fantastic. Like, what can I say?
Yeah, exactly. It's so fun. And if Q's listening, we're always honored. That's the thing of speaking from our heart, like you're saying, to be careful. It's not to be careful, but it's just sometimes it's just so easy to flow, right? Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh, this is recorded. There's people listening.
Right.
But it's always with great love and respect and playfulness. So
Exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting because this week I'm like, what are we going to talk about today? You know, like, how are you feeling about that? What are we going to talk about? And then how we prepare for these shows?
Well, I have to say, after last week's show, I have retired the pearls. I put them away in the little closet because we're not speaking about identities. So I'm like, this is funny. Like, it's everything's actually kind of a lesson. It's really funny. So I've retired them. I've put them away. And how about you? I was wondering about your dress. So pretty.
Well, you know, it was in retirement until this girl in California took it out and decided to wear it. And I think she took care of that. Unfortunately, I think there was a rip in it. But yeah.
Kim.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we put the dress away, retiring the dress too. So yeah, I agree. Let's just flow and just focus on our light. Yeah.
That's where, don't you feel that's where Q was going last week?
Yeah,
especially at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely. But I love how you said it's to give context, because like there has to be a way, like, I don't know, it helps me to process the information better. But at the end of the day, identity doesn't matter. And it's like you said, like, can we just go play? Who wants to go swimming?
I do. We know you do without your clothes on. Everyone knows that now.
Oh, God. Yeah, I kind of opened my mouth on that one, didn't I?
It's authentic. It's authentic. It's actually funny because I thought about it with when you it started with the no pants party, right? QT that off. So we're just having fun with it. But it really does sort of level the playing field, like nakedness does too, in a way. Do you remember, maybe you even shared this, that there's just what's left if you're just standing there raw and naked or no pants? It just, imagine if all the military had no pants on.
Oh my
Just,
God.
right? You know what I mean?
Just give me a minute. Just give me a minute on this one, because
It would change things up a little. I'm just playing, but I'm
I
just
know.
saying.
No, you're right. You're right. Because really, like, I was talking to a friend and we were talking about clothes because I love fashion. I've always loved fashion. I just love it. It's fun. It's a way to express myself. And he made an interesting point. He's like, well, it's a mask. It's really like, it's, like to what you just said, Zosia, when you take off everything and, it's just that nakedness, metaphorically and literally. What do you have left?
Exactly. And when you're standing there naked too, it doesn't it really, if you feel into it, it eliminates judgment because you instantly know. I'll just speak for me, have things I might tweak. And if I'm looking at someone else, we all have that stuff and you just get present with yourself. Let's go
Exactly.
swimming.
Exactly. And speaking of breasts, can I go there?
Oh, go for it.
I'm going to go there. I'm just going to go there. What a perk, impeccable timing. So I'm going to read this short poem from Eve Feathered Serpent, Wisdom of the Feathered Serpent, Eve Featherstone. It's a channeled poem, Breasts, a Spinning Pair. Breasts are galaxies, spinning stardust, whirring nearer to the deep center of everything that is, orbiting gently around the center of my heart, a dancing pair with sweet meringue interior, holding together image and soul to experience as one. So breasts are life-giving. I mean, it's life-giving, it's nurturing, it's so many. I've been reading up on this, and I just thought that was beautiful. What do you feel about that, if you want to comment about it?
Yeah, when you did you say whirling galaxies?
It says, yeah, it's whirring, whirring. How would you pronounce that, Zosia?
I feel you said it right, worrying. Yeah, I
Yeah.
feel that. There's so much behind it, right? That's I don't even know what to say about it, but that's coming as well. All of the aspects of the body. You know, it's interesting. It connects me to something that I read in we talked about Mary Q brought up Mary again last week, and I can't find the page, but I was reading something about the programming and how we've been basically all this magic around sexuality, which is the body as well, that really turned us more into a shame by denying the story of Jesus and Mary having intimacy, by denying that through the controls of the religion, how that denied it for us, so to say. It made us feel shame about our bodies and shame about feeling into sexuality. It's bad. Well, Jesus didn't do it. So why
Right.
would we, you know, and you see how that rippled throughout consciousness through all of us. So going back to what you're saying, there's so much to that too. Just it sort of stopped even us talking about the body in those degrees, in those ways that you just shared.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the programming and the religion and the church is just, it's unbelievable. How we view intimacy in our bodies. And it's interesting because Anastasia talks about it. Got Feathered Serpent. I actually got one of Stuart Swerdlow's books on the reality of sexuality. He talks about it. So we're all swirling around the same thing. Like, they're all talking about the same thing, maybe using different words. But I just found it beautiful. The breasts and what they symbolize and what they do, and they're life-giving. They sustain life and nurture. And when do we get at a point when we are comfortable talking about this and not, you know what I mean? Like, isn't that just busting the barn door open, just blowing it open, that we can talk about it freely and not be embarrassed or ashamed?
That's what we love to do. That's what we're doing. Right? That's what it's, we never, just to tell the audience, Lauren and I, we talk all the time, but we don't talk about what we're about to talk about, just a little bit what inspired us and whatnot. So it connects me too back to this book. Can I read this, Lauren?
Please.
It's from The Gospel of Mary by Lee Loop. And so these are the words of the author. And he mentioned Yeshua was capable of intimacy with a woman. This intimacy was not merely of the flesh. It was also emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. What is at stake here is total salvation, the liberation of a human being in his or her entirety through the imbuing of all dimensions of this being with consciousness and love. So that touches in for me. The physical was always sort of denied, and it was talking about this much bigger, like Kuhn Mermaid so beautifully discussed on our first interview with them, right? Mm-hmm. Of what it's like, perfect, perfect attention and affection. Eye gazing and all of these things, there's so much to it, but there's a physical aspect to it as well, right?
Right.
But how do, to your point, how do we get there?
Well, exactly. So how do we get there? And that would lead into maybe talking about what we talked about, Zosha. So Q said, we're talking about Mary and Jesus and sacred sexuality. How did they teach it? Right. Like I asked, like, how did you, I think it was me, or I can't remember, maybe not. How did they teach it? And is it okay to talk about that?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So how did we teach it? And he said, well, you had more capabilities back then. Okay. So what does that mean for us now? What does that mean? How are we going to teach it now? And I feel like to what you just said, we're talking about it. We're removing the energy, that charge to those, to these topics and making it more of a normal conversation. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree with you. And Q said something like this, like 2000 years ago, the real teachings then, like now, is trusting your heart. When you make decisions, everyone shows up right on time. And he also said, reminded us at that time, oh, here, I see a note. How did you teach sacred sexuality? And this is not an exact quote, but something about finding our true relationship is established. They didn't hunt prey. We lived a life of perfect harmony with ourselves, and then everything showed up. So it's really the same message to then. I love when Q says we're doing it again. It's every 2,000 years. He's here, right here in front of us. We're right here in front of us. He's right with us, telling us now. So I get where he's saying you don't have to read books, right? Because it's here to develop our knowing inside. And it's where that knowing inside, as we strengthen it, you just know. It's sort of what I was sharing, that I know when they discussed that relationship, when Q was speaking about the relationship of perfect intention, we know it, Lauren, right? I've shared at age three, I was yearning for I don't know if I was yearning for source or yearning for my partner. And I was also envisioning being a mommy. So my spirit knew. Three, that's young, you know, but that's when we're in our full knowing. So just to weave it back, what was my spirit yearning for? It's that connection. I always have known what that feels like, right? And then you go through life and hit a frustration or hit a different timeline. We know about all of that.
Right.
So it's that knowing ourselves. So how do we even learn about this topic until we know ourselves? Right.
Exactly. And just to dovetail onto that, when Q talked about just our authentic, you know, our knowing ourselves through our hearts, authenticity, that's where it all starts.
Exactly.
It's taught the opposite, you know, everything's inverted. So it's just taught, you know, the outside first versus the inside. So yeah, I agree. And then Zosha, I would say to that, the merging. Do you want to talk about the merging?
Yeah.
And it's it, Q was really honing in on, I feel last week, the merging piece. And so a lot of times when I'm excuse me, a lot of times when I'm we're doing the questions, I can't I don't I'm not able to process it right away. And I really have to go back and listen and feel into it, because when you call in and you're on you're on the phone with Q, it's powerful. It's you're in a different place, right? And so I have to go back and listen. And he talked about he and don't it's not exactly how I'm paraphrasing here, but we were talking about merging, and he mentioned that you really don't have a choice when it comes to merging with another light being. And what does that look like? I mean, so is that, male or female? How does that work? And then when you're having, you're sharing light or merging light in an intimate way setting, intimacy doesn't, it's not just physical, as we all know. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's as many components to it. So how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel the merging can be on many different levels in some ways. And I don't know, we can talk about it even from our perspective, sharing light. If there's moments, does it just ha that was the question, does it just happen automatically? And Q said you have no choice. So I really have to go back just from my spirit perspective. If you're going to meet another, I'll just say this. A few months ago, no, last year, there's no time, but I have to talk. Last year, I realized when I observed the records of my life, I kept getting frustrated in my life. Why was that? Because I couldn't feel people. I couldn't connect with them. And I'd go to the right and I'd go to the left and I'd turn upside down. I wasn't aware I was doing this in the way I'm speaking about it now. But I'd go all different angles to try and deeply connect with someone. And I couldn't. And I couldn't. The only two heart-centered beings in my life are my children. But they were my children, so I always felt that was natural for everyone, till I realized that's actually not even true either. And then as we came on this path and started feeling Q and Mermaid and opening up and listening, something switched, and I went, aha. I felt that connection instantly in my heart and said, oh my gosh, when I heard Q, Mermaid, and Asha speaking. That's my family. And then I sound crazy. Then you start telling yourself you're nuts, that whole trip. But for me, it was an actual switch. I felt my heart explode in a sense, or connect like a magnet. I feel Q use that too, like a magnet to steel. And then that became my anchor point, and just watched it and watched it and watched it. But to me, that's a way of a type of merge. I don't know, that's just my feeling. And then with you, Lauren, our deep connection, I don't know. Have you had an experience that you can discuss?
I just it's easy, it's there's no effort, it's just easy. And just I mean, just sharing some of our experiences. I shared, yeah, I one day I decided to get a pixie haircut and just cut all my hair off and get a pixie short haircut. And then you shared, oh yeah, I did too. I did too, right? So we had a lot of similar experiences we didn't even know. And then I would say for us, it's just, I don't know, it's just easy. There's no effort. It's just this deep, deep, profound love, love, sisterly love for you. And it's just, it's at my heart. I don't know how else to describe it. And I remember Q saying on the last show, or it's hard to, you can't really describe it. It's just, it's hard. It's kind of difficult to describe it, with the English language, these words were limited. But I would just say my heart's just so, I just feel so expanded, so open.
It's beautiful, yes, to that too. And it's also having attention when you feel we've observed ourselves. If we're talking about something of the mind, it feels different. And then when you're just present, when I'm just present with you and we have our conversations, sometimes you can just feel, ah, we just connected. Is that merging? It's not a sexual feeling at all. It's just a being in presence with each other.
Yeah.
Being with Q, it's a bubble. When we did the interview, every interview we've done with him and everyone who calls into Q can probably feel that as well. For me, it feels like the three of us were in a bubble. I don't have to see you. I feel you both. To me, that's a type of merge. Q, we need Q to you know, break that down. But it's such a presence and attention. And it goes to what he says about merging and being in it. Even it, there's an intimacy to it. Intimacy doesn't have to be sexual or physical, but there's that intimacy. So I feel when Q is speaking right now, he's really speaking from that point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, they've talked about the physical Q and Mermaid when they were with us, but it's so much more than that. So I feel like it keeps circling around this. But for me, it's always a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And then how do you know the piece is, how do you know for all of us when we go out there, we're feeling or searching for our partner or have a partner. Some of you already know what that feels like. You talked about sequence, the sequence to your twin flame. I felt that was a great question too, and how he responded to it. Didn't he ask you, like, you know the answer?
Yeah, he did.
And do you want to share? What did you feel about that? If you want to share.
I just felt like, I just felt like, I guess I still have some more work to do on myself, honestly, is what I received from that. And, just loving yourself and being authentic to you. And I mean, there's so many years that I would kind of put a lid on myself and not, I'm authentic, but it's just, there's certain parts that I would just, oh gosh, that's too much. And so basically following your heart, being authentic to you. And I mean, that's another reference to the go fish joke.
Yes. Right?
I just got to a point where I was like, oh, I can't say this. I can't say this. They might think this and they might think that. And I'm like, you know what? Duck it. I can't worry. That's a Zosha. I can't worry anymore about what other people think. And that's not to be mean or, it's just, who does that hinder? Not them. It hinders me. It slows me down. So I felt like it was just, continue to work on you and just be you and love all those parts of you, no matter what other people may think. And if people like it, great. And if they don't, that's fine too. And because we're all different, we're all on the same journey, but we're, there's different parts of the journey and preferences and what we like and what we don't like. And I'm rambling here, but basically, yeah, I mean, when he talked about my twin and that he just doesn't know who he doesn't know himself, I'm like, okay, well, I have to focus on me. That's what I'm going to focus on, is me, and not in a selfish way, and is that really being selfish, focusing on yourself?
No.
We've been yeah, taught that it's selfish, right? Sorry, I'm going down a whole another avenue, but
it's perfect. I feel the ducat is a great freeing, back to the salty language in a way. There's a feeling about that it's when it's authentic and really, I feel you even use the word sort of a surrender, mm-hmm, to whatever is really, for me in my experience, it was a massive movement to really living from my spirit and feeling what that feels like. And going back to just situations you don't prefer. Q said to a caller once, someone, I feel she was explaining her life and her family and trying to figure out what to do with that. And he said, yeah, again, not a quote, but discussed, yeah, you sort of find out who's on your side and who isn't. And that really stood out to me because I went through that experience as well. So again, it's strengthening your spirit and putting the mind to the side. And Lauren, we've used this analogy of observation when we've been in our mind. It looks like, you know, when you're a child and you see them first get a crayon and it goes around and around and around all the lines. It's just like a big pile of untethered yarn, right? And that's how my mind would feel. But when you go into your heart, it's just peace. It's just neutral. And again, those pictures always help me. I know you're visual as well. But again, it always keeps pointing to go within. It always comes back to that. And it always comes back to that. It's quite simple. He's here telling us again.
Exactly, exactly. And something that I've noticed is that we, you know, we've been taught to not go within. Oh, you need this validated. You need, right? And so, again, outside yourself, it's all within. And that might look different. That's going to look different for everyone of what going within looks like. And that's the journey, right? And there's some times when I was like, oh my God, I don't know what else to do here. I've quit my job. I basically am alone all the time. And I go out to the river and in nature almost every day. And I'm like, ah, what are my next steps? What are my next steps? And sometimes I get impatient. So this is all to demonstrate mind energy. This is an example. And then there's moments when I'm like, oh my gosh, I just go right back to inner peace that's what I want. Inner peace. And it's interesting how you can shift it so quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything out there. But then when you just bring it back in, I envision this, this column of light throughout my entire body and then going down and going up. I just envision it in my center. And I remember one time I had an experience where I was in mind energy and I shifted it back into my heart and I'm like, oh, it's safe here. I'm safe here. And I just felt so much love. So it's really interesting. It's really fun to observe, you know, those experiences. And then when things do pop up, I'm like, oh, that's really not me. That's an emotion. I am not my emotions. I am spirit. And what is spirit? Perfect peace. So, yeah.
It's beautiful. It came to me. I had found, if I can share this, Lauren, this
Please.
Poem came to me yesterday, right? That it's funny how we all have our different ways of little messages come to us. But if I can just read, I don't know, it's a long poem.
Oh, I'll just girl, read, you like, read whatever you want to read.
Two or three little sections. And it's called As I Began to Love Myself. And it's by Charlie Chaplin. So some of you might know this. But the first stanza is, I began to love myself. I found that anguish and emotional suffering are only warning signs that I was living against my own truth. Today I know this is authenticity. Further down he says, As I began to love myself, I stopped craving for a different life. And I could see that everything that surrounded me was inviting me to grow. Today, I call it maturity. And the last piece I'll share, as I began to love myself, I quit stealing my own time and I stopped designing huge projects for the future. Today, I only do what brings me joy and happiness, things I love to do and that make my heart cheer. And I do them in my own way. And in my own rhythm. Today, I call it simplicity. Does that sound like someone we know?
Oh, yeah, you know it. Absolutely.
It's stunning. So just to repeat again, it's called As I Began to Love Myself by Charlie Chaplin.
Wow.
It's the same messages. Yeah, I was like, wow, how have I not seen this before in my life? And it just reveals itself. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, that's everything that we talk about, just saying it another way, right? Just saying it another way. And to me, that stood out when you just shared your time. It's quiet time. I've had years of that in silence. However, my journey brought me the way I got here. How did I get here? A lot of quiet. So it's funny, Lauren, because it circles back to the twin flame question. You know, and realizing as when I started to go through my deeper awakening, And it's not easy. It's simple, but not easy, as we've discussed before. But I really realized I just nurtured myself. I loved myself. I really treated myself. I became my own twin flame, and what that meant to me, how I expressed and how I felt. I treated myself that way. I don't mean just in terms of stuff, but I just got to know me. I gave myself perfect attention. I gave my spirit perfect love and what I knew I wanted to experience. Not to sound weird, but do you know when you know where I'm going? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I mean, that, there you go. I mean, what else can be said about that, right?
Well, yeah, and then I began to recognize myself and strengthen myself and just became clear. And you walk differently. It doesn't mean you don't want other things for me, but you just walk differently. You feel your power.
Right, right. And as Lucia said to me one time, the orientation is not from ego, it's from spirit. So it's a knowing, and it's, like you said, you walk different. I mean, okay, who are we? We are source. We're a fractal of source. But you don't need anything outside of you to feel complete or whole. Exactly. But then this, right. But then balancing, knowing your power. And, yeah, I love that, Socia. I love you.
I love you too so much. And we talked about the movie Under the Tuscan Sun. So remember the scene?
Oh, yes.
The scene, maybe you can say it better because you saw it more recently, but essentially the lady who was out, she just, in this woman, there's two women, a woman struggling, just so to say, meets another woman who thoroughly enjoys her life in all ways. And she speaks to the younger woman, saying in her struggle, basically, you just lay down and the ladybugs come to you. You don't try and go get the ladybugs, right? Am I saying it right, Lauren?
Yeah, you are. And it was, just to piggyback onto that, I watched it. It was a recommendation. I don't know if I have permission to say her name on the call, but a recommendation from a beautiful sister, in Zosia, to watch the movie. And so I watched the movie this week, and I mean, I remember, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You there, Lauren?
Can you hear me?
I got you now.
Okay.
Keep going.
So I watched the movie this week, and I remember seeing this movie a couple times, like in the past few years, but I never watched it. So I watched it, and yeah, she was trying to make things happen. And it's exhausting when you try to make things happen and you get to that place of surrender. And then when she surrendered, everything came to her. And, I mean, it's such a beautiful, beautiful, I would recommend watching that movie. It was just a beautiful reminder of, cause I tried making things happen, and it's exhausting. It does work, but it's not sustainable. It doesn't sustain. And that there's such a peace that comes with surrender. Not like I give up, but there's been times when I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what else to do. Spirit, what else do you want from me? I'm doing everything I know to do. That's efforting, right? I just love the message in that movie. It's beautiful.
And we all have to get there by ourselves, right? I feel even Q said in the time that you brought up earlier, in the time of Mary or Miriam, he said, still like then, as today, you can't teach it. He felt you can't really teach it. You have to get there.
Right.
Not his exact words, but right?
You
just have
yeah.
to get there. It seems to be the process, and human beings, this version of human beings, need pain. Well, that was true in my life.
Yeah.
It helped me grow. The pain helped me grow.
Exactly. It's not pleasant. It's but it does. It's a catalyst. It really, you know, when you get so fed up with things, you're like, what can I do? How can I change my life? What can I do? And, you know, I've had, you know, like my parents, they'd see me going through something really rough, and they're like, oh my gosh, Lauren. I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm gonna figure this out. I've, no one can do this for me but me. And that's where the growth happens. And it's not easy, and it can be ugly. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked in the mirror and my face is red from crying and just feeling so discouraged, so disempowered. And like, I wish I would have made different decisions in my life, but here we are. It's in the past. What did I learn from them? How can I grow from them and make better decisions? Well, also at the same recognizing it was an experience. And I remember a beautiful, beautiful Arizona angel. I will not say her name, but I remember talking to her one time and she was like, it's not a mistake. It was an experience. And that really helped me so much when she phrased it that way.
Yeah, it makes it helps detach, right, to more your spirit and an observation point of view versus a shame point of view or judgment or whatnot. So it's beautiful. What comes to me too as you're sharing that is we are here, in my opinion, we are here, all of us are here because we have tenacity. There's this inner tenacity to keep getting up. This inner, why are some of us here and others, we know other lovely, beautiful people with light. We're just in different paths, but why? I just keep feeling we just have a tenacity. It doesn't matter if we're crying, like you just shared, and red in the face and going through ups and downs, but we just, it's almost like, tell me if I'm wrong or tell me if you feel like this as well, but I just keep getting up. Like I just have to keep going because what else is there? That's what I want. There's something that was always pulling me, something deeper. Something deeper, the truth, my connection to source. I don't even know. I do know, but it's just keep getting up. I always get the military visual of, military in training during their boot camp. Did we talk about this? I have no recollection if we've ever talked about this before, but.
Oh, no, that's what's so beautiful about these shows, guys, is I'll just share, Zosia, really quick. We're playing around with this and how prepared do we come to the shows? Like we talk and have some ideas, but I'm finding that the less we prepare, so to speak, or have things planned out, the better the shows are, right?
Well, and the more we speak from our heart, right? Because we're just being present. I guess that's the answer too, Lauren. We're being, because we're not scripted, and it's not easy. Because we know we're being recorded, but because we're not scripted, we're just really speaking from our heart. But that's our nature, right? That's, I guess, what you're saying, coming to know our nature.
Right.
And that's where we clicked on that. We all have, I love, we all have different ways of expression.
Yeah.
But yeah, it helps anchor us and be present. No, but I we do talk about some of the topics because we're excited to, right? But
yeah, exactly. And then I wanted to talk about a topic with you, bring up a topic that Q mentioned from last week, but just what you said, just to dovetail into what you said about tenacity. Yeah, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I thought graduate school's hard. I thought, oh no. Mm-mm. And you can't compare the two, enlightenment and graduate. You can't compare, obviously, but you just, you get smacked around a little bit, you fall over, but you just get back up. And sometimes I don't even know how I get back up, but you just keep going. And that's what we're all doing. And it's just an honor. I've said this so many times. When I realized what is happening, I'm just like, oh my God, this is an honor. And a privilege to be a part of this and just all the people that we're meeting and connecting with. I love you all. Just, it's such an honor, but, Zosia, anything you want to say about that? Sorry, before we
agreed, the honor to be self-aware of what is animating us, who is us animating us of the light and growing the light. I mean, what better purpose is there?
It's like, how do you explain this to people? Like, right? My family and stuff. Like, what am I doing? I'm like, oh gosh, we'll talk about it later. I just, I can't,
Can
I
I?
can't. Go ahead. Go
No,
ahead.
sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm making a little bit of a right turn
Please.
because you started it. It just came back to me. Are we ladies at tea or the salty sea ladies? And it came to another thing came to me about cursing back to the ducat. There is something came to me. No, we don't quote studies. We know everyone verify. You can feel this for yourself. But this little study made me chuckle. It said research shows that cursing can make you stronger and more resistant to pain. And it's funny because I have a military family. And yeah, they curse. And I said, this is so true because there's nothing better. I remember one of my children came home from school when they were young. Oh, so and so said this word. You know, the drama is really funny. And we talked about it. And I said later on, you know, there's something about a curse word. I said it has to be used. Just it's a word that almost it's almost like a symbol to me. It explains so much more. If you drop a cinder block on your foot, I told my kids, there's no better word than just one word. You just have to let it go. You just have to say it. I said, no, you wait till you're an adult, you know, trying to. And their eyes went large. Because they're expecting me to, you know, jump on board with that. And it's really funny. So when I saw this little study, it was in Ireland. If it's true, you decide for yourself. Again, we can feel, but the other part it says it found that cursing can improve both your physical and psychological health. And researchers discovered that cursing can increase strength, pain tolerance, and even boost your confidence. I just felt it's fun. I
Interesting.
don't know. It just stood out to me to share. So
I love it. I
well, it's
love it.
true.
I do. I do. Because I mean, I saw this meme, whatever it's called, and it says, when somebody says duck it, just get out of the way because they mean business, right? Just duck it. Right? That's it. That's it.
It's true. Now,
There's the.
if you say it 10 times, it loses its essence for
Right,
me. You know what I mean?
exactly.
I've known people to every other sentence is like, okay, that's you lost it on me. But it's funny. Anyway, not
No, I love
sorry,
it.
just being silly.
I love it. I love it. I mean, sometimes there's no other words to use, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of therapeutic, actually.
Exactly.
I think
I'm
it's
like,
funny. I think it's funny as hell when Q curses. I mean, I just sit in there and laugh.
same. It's like we've discussed, you're just sometimes in a room and you hear someone say it, you're like, oh yes. And it deserves it. When he curses like that, it's well used. It's very well used and placed. And you could feel the sort of, yeah, what he said.
Yeah,
You could feel
exactly.
it. You could feel it.
That's right. That's right.
It's so
Exactly. You're so
so
funny.
funny.
Well, let's talk about the bliss state. So Q had mentioned about so when I was talking about the halo of light referencing Osho, and I believe I read it's actually a physical, I mean, if I'm wrong, I could be wrong here, but I believe I read that it was an actual physical like light, like this halo of light. And I could tell where he was trying to go with this, and I think I totally missed it. So sorry, Q. I'm learning, Q. But he says, well, he referenced the rubber band people, like, you know, you have that physical orgasm, but we don't sustain it. He's like, but I don't go to the grocery store in an orgasmic state. Rather, so we were like, okay, well then what does that mean? Is it just being in a state of bliss, like just being in that peace? How do you feel about that, Sosha? What does it mean to be in a space, that space all the time, or the best we can, right? What does that mean to you?
The word bliss came to me as well when he discussed that, because it's just this continuous state of peace, of neutrality, just moving with no expectations, no judgment, just being in presence, and I guess just being in flow of what is going to come, knowing this place where we live works on what's the word, synchronicities. So he said he's not in an orgasm at the supermarket. I'm glad he said that because I was trying to work between the words orgasm, which is, you know, we have said, it also has been discussed by Q, perfect attention, right? Versus what we come to, what I know you and I have discussed, that physical orgasm. So yes, there's that as well. So I started to feel like it's the physical piece that helps grow one's state to this state of bliss. Because Q referenced like about a just giving massages to everyone, or they discussed the idea of just hiring prostitutes so everyone could have an orgasm. So to me, that meant, okay, so there's a function to a physical orgasm that can bring us into that ecstatic state that's used a lot with masters in the past that I read. They'd be in an ecstatic state. I've been in that state, and it's indescribable. It's just indescribable. I don't know if he's always feeling that, he would have to give us more details about that, really. But he also used the term the enlightening process. So what I'm starting to get is that there's a physicality. It doesn't have to be physical at all. And in fact, that seems like the not even as important. Didn't he say that physicality is really for procreation? I don't want to speculate on that, but yeah. So how do you sustain it? To your question about Osho with the peaks and valleys, he said, still yet, that's the rubber band people. So
right,
it's not sticking. So how do you make it stick? I guess that's put it in the can. That's what he's always talking about. How do you put it in a can?
Right, right. So I wonder, what you just said is beautiful. So remember we were talking this week, and I was like, gosh, I'm confused. So when they talk about the orgasm and just in the physicality, what you just said, the physical is procreation. Is that, wasn't right? Isn't that what you just said? So I'm like, I'm confused because I enjoy making love, right? In the physical. So do I have to like let that go? I mean, that's where I got a little confused.
Interesting. Sorry, finish.
No, go ahead.
I feel no. Oh, we're creators. We can experience how we want to experience in any way we want. So that's why I was hesitant to say, yes, it's for procreation, but I don't know. This we can ask him next week. But let me read this. I feel no. I'm with you. I feel no, but there's more to it. Like we've always known, we know that there's more. Right? So it's what comes with that. And one piece I see that I wrote down, the cue is when he was talking about this topic, he talked about there's so many abduction points in sexual magic, right? Right at the point of advancement, he said. So to me, that's right at the point of the heightened growth to enlightenment. That's how I interpreted it. And then he said, no one has really taught us. No one really understands that I am a spirit. And now I'm touching and being touched. See what I mean? So there's that massive subtlety of spirit. We're just animating through a physical body. So we're touching the body, but how do you bring it from your spirit perspective? And then he just said, why does the sensation end? Right? In the Matrix, we know you get to that point of orgasm and it's gone a little later. It doesn't end for me, he said. It never stops. And you can be right back there whenever you want. So to me, that goes back to where you started, that state of bliss. Does anything come up for you for that?
When I remember reading Osho saying that ego orgasm is in basically timelessness and no thought. So peace. Was that what you would equate it to? Like when you have that moment of, when we all have it. Can you hear me, Sasha?
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys. This the microphone. I know I just lost what I was going to say. Okay.
You were talking about Osho and talking about the physicality and bringing it to, you were asking if the orgasm brings you to a state of peace.
Yeah, thank you. I'm getting. I guess I'm getting confused about the physical and the spiritual and how to marry the two. I know I've always been looking for it and seeking it because I've always known it was there, but I could never find it, so to speak. So, I know in the moment of that beautiful physical orgasm, that's a powerful moment for creation. And then when we talk about the children, and when you have two higher consciousness, beings coming together, and then creating, a baby, how powerful that is. So I'm learning. I'm still processing. And Zosia, I thought this was funny. So yesterday we were talking, and I was down getting something from the little bakery down in the city, and I said to you on the phone, "I'm confused about sex now." And I'm like, "Oh, that's great! Everyone on the street heard me."
Did anyone stop and
No,
assist?
thank goodness.
Oh, I'll help you. What questions do you have?
Thank goodness nobody did.
Line forms around the corner. We'll help you with that.
I never, right? But it's just, it's
So
fun.
funny.
It's fun to just, I'm just like, okay, I love to learn. So I'm evolving, I'm growing. So,
It's perfect. Confusion brings the questions, right?
yeah, exactly. And if I get really confused, then I just say, duck it and go off in the woods.
Exactly. And the beauty of that is you get to settle back in ourselves. You get back to stay. It's kind of the questions. I've heard Lucia say this, who's asking the question, right? So we come at it from our mind versus in our heart. For example, how did you know some things about yourself? You just know. That's how I feel this comes through us. We'll just know.
Yeah, exactly,
But
exactly.
it doesn't mean we don't stop trying because that's our nature, but you just know.
Yeah. Agreed,
And
agreed.
we keep listening. We keep showing up. We're so honored again, Q, that you join us and are with us in this conversation and exploration and mermaid. It's really profound. I feel like it's the answer. You know, one
Yeah.
of the big answers, because why did they suppress it so long? Well, because like Max Spears said, they don't want us to find our true love, our true heart. Similar to Osho, he said it creates a third energy. You mentioned the light.
Yeah.
So that's
It's
pretty profound. So we're getting there. We're doing it.
Yeah, we are. And it's a very humbling journey. The adjectives to describe this journey is endless, but yeah, I agree. I agree. Hopefully this conversation will get people feeling this light, going into the homesteading show.
Exactly. So join us there at PRQ Homesteading. Can you believe it's already the end of the show?
And it just goes by so quick.
Amazing. We really love you all. We feel you. And we love BBS for helping us. We love Q, Mermaid, the whole PRQ team, everyone listening to us. Thank you so much for joining us. And Lauren, do you want to add any bit before we go?
No, just what you said. We love all of you, and I'm just so honored for whoever's listening, just so honored just to be on this journey with you. And Q and Mermaid, we love you so much. And BBS,
And we
couldn't
can't
do this
wait to
without
get
you.
and we can't wait to get together for the party.
That's right.
Right? Soon. Hopefully
Yeah.
soon.
All right. Well, I guess that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
I love you.
I love you too. We'll see you in a few
Great.
minutes.
Great. Bye.
PRQ Homesteading Live.